Good morning. I thank you, Colin, for those song selections. Hope God accepts them with the praise and the honor that we've sang them to him with. A couple of prayer announcements real quick before we get started. Diamond has sent in a card requesting prayers for her in her, as she says, her struggle to be a godly woman. She wants to put the Lord first always and to let the Lord fight her battles. That is something that every one of us could be requesting in our walk as godly men and women to fully serve him and to put him first. Also, Kennedy Flanders has requested prayers for her grandfather, continued prayers for her grandfather. He has been diagnosed with the coronavirus, also has a blood infection, right? And hopefully doesn't have to go to the hospital with this. Let's go to God in prayer real quick before we get into our lesson on behalf of these two. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We come to you right now on behalf of two of our sisters, Diamond and Kennedy. Diamond's request to be a more godly woman and to help her in her struggles in being that godly woman, in her fight to stay on the right path. We ask that us being her brothers and sisters can encourage her, strengthen her, and that she can be able to lean on us and your word and the power of prayer. Dear God, we ask that you be with Kennedy's request right now with her grandfather. These last few months have been a struggle for a lot of people, whether it be health-related, job-related, just the anxiety that people have faced dealing with this. We pray for her grandfather that he will be strengthened and that the doctors will be able to treat his condition in the best way possible for him. Dear God, we thank you for everything you do for us. We ask that you please forgive us. Be with us as we go into this other portion of our worship to you as we study a portion of your word. We pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen. As we study the Bible and we look at the different teaching methods of, say, Jesus, Jesus did a lot of parables. He taught in ways that people could understand. He might have been using an example of farming, of seeds and farmers and the rains and so forth and the harvest that people would make that connection to, or fishing. I know the men that have the opportunity to speak to you here, we use different things that we can relate to. Maybe job experiences, our careers, our upbringing. With me, I tell you, there is so many connections to... Excuse me, I didn't turn this on. So many connections to... either sports or history, making those connections. I've had the honor to have been a teacher for over 35 years and to coach. People ask, I coached three sports a year for over 30 years, and people say, how did you do it? You know, and I enjoyed it. And it's been a big part of my life. And I make a lot of connections between sports and Christianity and history. I've taught history for over 35 years, and I see a lot of connections. We make connections with the things that mean something to us. You know, I know many of you have related through your lessons maybe things of your jobs and careers, or your time in the military service, things like that, and making those connections to Christianity. And that's what Christianity is. It's God does not want us to flip a switch when we come in these doors and get in Christian mode. He wants us to live it daily in what we do, when we go to school and teach, when we're at our jobs and dealing with maybe some of the same people we see on a regular basis, that they see not only a worker, they see a Christian. When we're at the bank and you maybe see the same customers on the same day or something, or at a restaurant, whatever it is. And there was a song a number of years ago, dating myself now, by Creedence Clearwater Revival called Center Field. And there was a line, I kind of put this lesson together a few months ago. I heard it on the oldie station. And there's a line in that song, "Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play." And that's what the title of this will go off in just a second. Sorry for not warming it up earlier. Forgot. I have one thing to do, and I forget to do it. Amazing. But the line, "Put me in, coach." A lot of people that are on a sports team, whether it be football, basketball, track, soccer, you name it, they want to play. "Put me in, coach. I've trained. I've gone to practice. Put me in." This is the same attitude we should have with our beliefs and with Christ. "Put me in. Use me." I hope when this is all said and done, and I'm not talking about the lesson, this thing called life, I hope I'm worn out rather than rusted out. There's how many Christians rust out from lack of use? I hope every one of us are worn out, used up, squeezed everything we can out of ourselves in our service to Christ, in our service to God. One of the things that I want to look at today, "Put me in, coach." The question, the honest question, do you want to play? Do you really want to play, or do you just want to sit on the sidelines and criticize? There's a lot of athletes that they're better at that, being critical, criticizing the play of other athletes. "Oh, I could have done it better than them. Oh, they should have done this." But you know what? They're the ones in playing, giving it their best. Or do they just want to wear a jersey? Be part of a team. Those of you that have been athletes have probably seen people like that. They don't really want to do it. They just want to be part of something. They want to be part of the team. Wear a jersey. Maybe they're the only reason they're on the team is their mom or dad played that sport and they feel obligated to play it. Are you making the connections? It's not just about sports. Whether you're a football player, baseball player, soccer player, whatever, do you want to play? Or do you just want to sit and criticize? Or do you just want to be part of a team? No commitment, but I'm part of something. Or it's, I'm here because my dad played when he was little and the expectation of me to play. I really don't want to be here. I've experienced those as a coach. The kid did not want to play, but they felt obligated. I was floored one day. My philosophy was, as a coach, I wanted everybody to play every game. At least get in and do what they've trained to do. I tried my best every game, win or lose, tried to get everybody in. I was getting everybody in one day, and I go to this game. Do you want to go in? And expecting, yeah. No, I'm okay. I'm like, you're getting a chance to play. You're not a starter, but no, I'm good. I'm thinking to myself, why do you come to practice all the time? You come, you never miss. It's hot out here. And now you don't want to play? Wow. Let's look at some scriptures. Our scripture reading that was read today, Isaiah 6. Isaiah was called to do the work of the Lord. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. I'll do it. Not the send them. Not the we've got a problem. What are you going to do to fix it? Send that person. Send that person. I'll go. It's going to be hard. I'll go. Quite a bit different attitude here. Big different attitude than Jonah. Jonah was called basically to do the same thing. Called by God to do something God wanted. Jonah 1:1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This was not going to be fun to do. It was not going to be, you're going to have to go tell people you're wicked and to repent. So Jonah, he's going to go. No. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. I'm going the other way. All he had to do was go up to Nineveh. He goes all the way across on the other end of the Mediterranean Sea to try to get away from God, from the presence of the Lord. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And we all know how that turned out. He didn't get away from, he wasn't even away from God when the big fish ate him. He's in the belly of the fish, in the bottom of the ocean, still not away from the presence of God. Two totally different responses. Here am I. Send me. I'll go. Or not me. I need a ticket. Where's the farthest that your ship goes? I want to go to Tarshish. On the total other end of the Mediterranean Sea. Another question to ask. Put me in, coach. Are you prepared? Are you prepared to play? Most athletes want to play. Or else they wouldn't, most of them wouldn't be there if they didn't. Are you prepared to play? Do you know the plays? I, as a coach, cannot send you in if you don't know what to do. Because every play is designed for all the people of the team to work together and to have a role. And if one part breaks down, it's like a domino effect. Are you, as a player, as an athlete, do you know the plays? Are you willing to play other positions? A lot of people, I'm quarterback material. And after you watch them, no, you're not. You're this material, or there's a place for you. You know, it's amazing how many parents have got their kid all figured out. That they're the best this. Well, why isn't my son the starting quarterback? And this is a true story. I can't believe he's not starting because his uncle was such a great athlete. So help me. His uncle, and this is the father speaking, his uncle was such a great athlete that his nephew should be the starting quarterback. The only problem is the son couldn't remember the plays, couldn't throw. We found a place for him. Not everybody is suited to play quarterback. Not everybody is suited to play middle linebacker. Not everybody is suited to play receiver. But there's a place for everybody. Are you willing to play different positions? Do you come to practice? I want to play. Put me in, coach. You haven't been here. Have you ever known those athletes? Well, I'm a gamer. I'll put out when at the time of the game. You don't do nothing. You have not demonstrated anything through practice to want to go in as a coach. Let's look at some scriptures. 2 Timothy. At this congregation, that page in your Bible should be wore out. It should have the thumb smudges on it from turning to it so much. Paul wrote to Timothy, be diligent. I think it's the King James, study to show yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to play, but I don't know any of the plays. I don't know any of the game book. Of the playbook. We study hard. We as Christians study to when we get that chance to play, we can rightly divide the word of truth. We might get that opportunity to play when our neighbor asks us a religious question. When a discussion at lunch, at work, comes up and it's about religion, and you were just reading it the other, and you can put, it's time to play. And you can step up. Hebrews 10:25. I will go to my grave. This is one of those that I'll dig my heels on. People will try, I've heard so many people try to argue why you don't need to go to church, why you don't need to go to worship services. That there, you know, there's all these excuses, and that's all they are. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Does that sound like a good example there? There's nothing, you know, some people don't attend the assembling of the saints together. That's not a praise. That's not a pat on the back. Put me in, coach. Are you going to play your way or the coach's way? Are you going to be a hot dog? Are you in for just you? Or do it the way the coach wants? Will you help or hurt the team? There's been some times I was reluctant putting somebody in for various reasons. I may not want them to get hurt. They want to play. They're favoring an ankle. They can't. I don't want to make that worse. Will it hurt or help the team by the way they play, by their attitude? They're a hot dog. They're about all about them, not about team. If they're not getting the ball, they don't block. They don't run the route hard. They don't do this. They don't, unless they're getting it. Put me in, coach. Will you hurt or help the team? Your attitude of playing, that stuff rubs off. It's a cancer. Somebody that you want to play, but you're never at practice. I'm not putting you in. What will it do to the morale of everybody else, that's the rest of the team that's there every day? Sweating, working, going through pain. And then you haven't been there and you show up and you just get to play. That hurts the morale of everybody else. Matthew 6:1. Take heed, this is Jesus talking. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. In coaching talk, Jesus is saying, don't be a hot dog. It's not all about you. It's about the team. Probably the greatest example there is Naaman. He wanted to do it his way. He didn't want to do it the way the prophet of God told him to. In Naaman, in 2 Kings 5, it says, then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Naaman had leprosy all over his body. And he found out that this man of God might be able to help him. So he packs up, he takes the chariot, and he goes to Elisha's house to find out what I need to do. I don't want this leprosy on me. And he might be able to help me. But and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord, his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. He had an expectation of what he wanted done. Are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. He has the opportunity. He had been told what to do. I find it interesting. Elisha, he probably felt slighted because Elisha didn't come out. He sends a messenger, a servant, to tell him what to do. Oh, he couldn't be bothered with me. So he sends a servant. And so he goes away in a rage. He was furious. Again, a servant. A servant told him what to do, and one of his servants finally makes some sense to him. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" Ding. Do it the way you were told. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He did it the way the coach wanted, not his expectation. John 12:43, Jesus says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." They believed. Verse 42 says, they believed, but they didn't confess because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They love the praise of God, or men, more than the praise of God. The last, and we're going to close up with this, after you've played, after you've had that opportunity to play, how do you react? If it was a victory, are you gracious, encouraging, humble, or are you haughty and arrogant as an athlete? If it was defeat, if you lost the game, lost the race, the wrestling match, whatever, are you mean-spirited, get a defeatist attitude? Start playing another game, the blame game. Wasn't my fault. The coach didn't know what he's talking about. It was the receiver. That quarterback couldn't throw. Whatever. Or are you dedicated with a renewed vigor, with a renewed spirit of effort? We're not always, in every Bible study, going to lead somebody to be baptized, to be saved. Some of us plant, some of us water, but it's God that causes the growth. Some of your greatest lessons can come from defeats. I don't know how many of you know, Marion was a world-class track athlete. Some of you have played on teams, have done different sports. You learn sometimes more from your losses. As a player or a coach, if we win, doesn't necessarily mean that you improved. Might have been that the opponent was just really bad. In fact, some of those times like that, you won, but it was a sloppy win. And you actually took a few steps back as a team. But I tell you, you can lose and have the best race of your life. But the person that won was faster. They were better, but you played as a team. You played together. Might have come up on the short end of the scoreboard. You played exactly the way the coach wanted you to play. You had the best game individually of your life. The best race, the best wrestling match, the best soccer game, whatever. But you might have lost on the scoreboard. How do you react in victory or defeat? When we read this, realize who's writing it. It's the Apostle Peter. not the young, impetuous guy that's jumping out of the boat to walk on water, the guy that's drawing out a sword, whacking off people's ears, not the guy that, oh, Jesus, I will never deny you. I would die with you. Not that Peter. The older, more mature, seasoned Peter. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He's calling people to submit. That was something Peter had a little trouble with. Submitting to other people. He wanted to do things his way. And he's able to do that later on in life. And closing up our last scripture, Paul. This is generally accepted as the last letter Paul wrote before he was executed. And he writes to his beloved Timothy, and he's sitting in jail writing this, and he says, I have fought the good fight. The scoreboard is showing Paul's lost. The scoreboard, Paul's getting ready to lose his life. He won. He won. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness. He's sure of that, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. I'm not the only one that's going to get it. Anybody else that finishes the race, that has fought that fight, that have kept the faith, you're going to win. And he's encouraging Timothy, you keep the faith too. If you have never played sports, if you don't like sports, if you've never watched sports, maybe you didn't make a connection. But most of us probably have. At least watch it, like it, something. If you need to respond to the invitation, I went over a little bit today, sorry about that. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers of our congregation, if you need to repent of sin, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, whatever your need, if you'd come forward as Colin leads us in the invitation, we'll address those. Let's stand and sing.